You know, in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit is turning our hearts to Father God. Is that a good thing? Amen. And that speaks to us of, it's a relational thing. It's a relationship that God wants with us. Right? And so we see when God says to turn the hearts of the children of Israel to Father God, He says, I want to have a relationship with my people. So God is a God of relationships. He created Adam and Eve so He could have a relationship with them, could walk in the cool of the day. He could speak to them, spend time with them. They were to rule and reign with God. And so God Himself is the author of relationships. And so I want to talk about, you know, honoring God-given relationships. And the first relationship that we are, and thank God because we're all here today, is we have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason you and I are here. We thank God for that. I want to open up and read John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 6 to 19. And this is a prayer that Jesus made before He went to the cross. He made this prayer, and this is what He said in His prayer. And I want you to pay attention to what we're about to read. John chapter 17, verse 6 to 19. It says this, I have manifested Your name to the man whom You have given Me out of the world. They were Yours, You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. And they have known that all things which You have given Me are from You. For I have given them, I've given to them the word which You have given Me. And when they receive them and have known surely that I came forth from You, and they have believed that You sent Me, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. All Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to You, Holy Father, keep through Your name those whom You have given Me, that they may be one as We are one. What I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name. Those whom You gave Me, I have kept. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I have come to You. These things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify Myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. It's a powerful prayer that, I mean, it's, you know, when you really read and really go through this and think about what Jesus is saying here, you know, there's so much out of it, but I just want to focus on a few things this morning. And the first thing that I want to say from John chapter 17 is that there were certain men that were given to Jesus. So everybody say, there were men, there were people that was given to Jesus. And we find that in the first verse, verse 6, I have manifested Your name to the man whom You have given Me out of the world. And so Father God gave Jesus man while He was on earth. He gave them the disciples. Are you with me so far? And so I want to talk to you about honoring relationships. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the source. He is love. He's the author of love. He's the author of relationship. And so every relationship that we receive comes from the one who is the source of love and relationships. Can you say amen? So I want to share with you 4 points. And I believe that, you know, God is really doing something in this church, in this house, because something that's going to take place when all of our hearts are hungry for God and seeking His face, something powerful is going to happen inside this house, inside this church. And God is going to give us strength so that we can be united as one people. What is the royal command of love? Is to love one another as yourselves. We must love God first and love one another. And oftentimes we focus, and we should focus, to love God with all of our hearts, with all of my mind, with all of our strength. And that should never be washed down. This message should never be secondary. It should always be the primary focus of every single believer. But there's something that comes after it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I believe that God gives us relationships. So I want to share four things with you this morning. And the first thing is God gives us man, or we can say God gives us people, or we could say God surrounds us with people. We are not self-made. We all can recognize that as baby we were born and we depended on our parents to take care of us. Is that right? So God gives us people. He gives us parents. He gives us our siblings. He gives us friends. They are given to us by God. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, and I'll read this for you. It should be on the screen. It says, James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God gives us these relationships, people all around us. These are precious. They are good gifts from God. Now, I don't have this there, but Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how God gave us gifts. It talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, God's gift. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And listen to this. This is the one I wanted you to focus. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So what I'm trying to say to you is that the people that are around us, the people that God appoints over us or even surrounds us with, are given and appointed, given to us by God. And that is a gift. And that is a good thing. Everybody say it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be surrounded by people. I personally really thank God. I believe that in this house, on a personal level, okay, I really believe God has really surrounded me with good people. Amen. Really good people. All right, so tap yourself on the shoulder. but I believe that, I really say that. You know, the people that I'm constantly in touch with, you know, whether it's, you know, we're planning for things, and I'm very thankful for, you know, and I may not mention all your names, but I'm going to mention the ones that are really close to me, you know, and, you know, you talk about Dino, like Amy, Adrian, and Grace, and those people that I've been spending a lot of time, I thank God. I mean, you're not secondary, so I'm sorry, but it's, but I think you understand where I'm coming from, is because we've been doing so many things together, and I thank God. God really puts them around, and I couldn't ask, I mean, I wouldn't complain, I couldn't complain, you know, and if I did, you shoot me in the head, okay? But yeah, and you see, those relationships are so precious, you know, you know, I don't say this in a to brag about our church or anything like that, but really, when you see, you know, when I need to do something or we need to do something together, we really support each other. I could not thank God enough for that. You know, I've never had to really complain about anything because really their hearts are just there. I really believe God has given us really good people in this church. I believe God surrounds everyone with good people. Everyone with good people. They are gifts. You know, what I can't do, I see the amazing things that, you know, others can do. And so I find in our little team that there's no competition. We don't try to see who's going to preach better on Sunday. We don't see who leads songs better, who is a better orator, who reads better, who prays better, who declares resurrection life with more oomph. Or we don't do that kind of stuff. You know, it's good relationships. You know, we don't compare like this and we don't compete. And that's amazing. To me, that's really amazing. And I couldn't thank God enough. But I believe God gives us good people, surrounds us with good people. They are good gifts. So I want to ask you yourself, do you think God has surrounded you with good people? Yes. Amen. So I'm going to use this morning some principles in Jesus. I know we are not Jesus, and I know it was given to Jesus, but I'm using some principles from this chapter this morning, okay? Number two, we must treasure such relationships. We must treasure such relationships. What will cause us to treasure relationships like this is when we recognize that God is the one who gave it to us. You know, there are relationships that are given to us and there are relationships that we ourselves make. There are certain relationships that we want to make, or there are relationships that are God-given. We treasure the relationship when we recognize that they're given by God. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to say this, you know, and we treasure something when we see the value in it. When we see it's from God, and again, like, you know, if, you know, relationships that we try to make to get something out of the person, you always see it comes out negative. But when God brings you together, there are relationships, and I want to talk about someone like Paul. He says, "I've begotten you in the gospel," and you know, I've become like a father in the gospel. You know, because I've preached the gospel, I brought you in the Lord like I'm a father. These are relationship birthed by God. Can you see the difference in relationship? It's not just some relationship, and I am an acquaintance here and there. You know, it's not that kind of relationship. It's in the Spirit. There are relationships in the Spirit that God gives us. We thank God that we are brothers and sisters in the Spirit because of the blood of Jesus that brings us together. Amen? But 1 Peter chapter 5, and you know, and I was reflecting on this particular chapter. You know, we've been waiting on the Lord with the children, and we've been asking the children, you know, when you wait on the Lord, when we wait on God, we should ask God some questions, and God should answer us. Not God should answer us, but we want to hear from God. And what does God want to say to us? And so we were reading chapter 5 of 1 Peter, and we were trying to think, okay, and the first question was this: how does God show us His love? Okay? Now, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. It's not on the screen, so if you've got your Bible, I encourage you, please open up your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is what it says. I'm just going to read like maybe the first four verses and stop there. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort you, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of thy glory, which will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, to be fair, if I was to read that verse and I didn't really ask the question, Lord, How do you love me? Show me your love. I would read this verse and think, it's about shepherds. I'm not a pastor. I don't shepherd a flock. Okay? All right? So I'm not an elder, so doesn't really kind of apply to me, does it? So you kind of take this verse and say, that's for the pastor, that's for the evangelist, or it's for whoever, those in leadership or doing something, right? It's easy to do that, but when we ask, say, Lord, really, how do you love me through these verses? How do you demonstrate your love? And this is what I got. God gives us shepherd that will serve us, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to them, but by being examples to the flock. I begin to say, God, I just thank you so much. Do you know what just happened? All right? Are you following with me so far? And begin to say, wow, you are showing me your love. I know it's not talking about me. I may not be a shepherd. I may not be in that position, but I recognize that you have appointed such people over my life or in my life that are guiding me, that are helping me, and these are relationships that we ought to cherish. And of course, this isn't a view of, you know, someone in leadership that has been appointed over us. But when you think about it, relationships are given to us by God. Whether it's my brother, sister, father, and mother, or church members, or brothers and sisters, or pastors, or leaders. So I begin to thank God. I say, Lord, I thank you, Lord. And I believe this with all my heart, by the way. That thank you, Lord, that you have given me a shepherd in this church. You've appointed shepherds over my life who truly do not do things by compulsion, but willingly. And I cannot say this enough. They don't do it for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Okay, for those who have been in this church for a long time, you would know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't say you should know. I say you would know. God gives those relationships and we treasure those relationships. I treasure them. God said that he would appoint shepherds. So I am so thankful to be part of this church. I think I shared this a while back, a few months ago, and I went to a particular church in Malaysia. They have no pastors in the church. And when I went there, I had a very sad feeling. It really saddened me because you could kind of see they're just trying to run a service and they're just doing things and without really any direction. I'm not saying God's not there. I believe God's looking after them. But I'm saying I just could not stop thanking God for, wow, I am so thankful that in Evangel there are shepherds that really care, not care, they really care. I want to talk about Daniel and his three friends. God gave Daniel three friends, his three friends. And it's a powerful relationship because when they're in a trouble and he needs an answer, he doesn't just go on his own. He says, go find his friends and they go and seek God's face together. Relationships like this are powerful. There are times when Paul was running away and he said, okay, I'll meet you there. Leave me in Athens. I'll come and see you. And he says, I was looking for some of my companions. I think it was Timothy. I think he was looking for Timothy because he refreshes me. These are relationships that are given to us by God. But we got to watch out for something here, and it's called familiarity. How many of you know what that is? When we become too familiar with those that are around us, we treat them casually. Is that true? And when we stop honoring that relationship in how it ought to be, the way we engage is different. And so as a result, especially children, I think you can, you know, as a, even as, you know, I'm you know, as with my parents and all of that, as a child or whatever you want to call me, even though I'm whatever age, but, you know, because we become so familiar, it's easy to just brush it off and here and there, and we didn't really pay attention, you know? It's a casual relationship. I want to say we ought to honor relationships. God gives relationship. And the Bible says, right, in 1 Peter chapter 3, how he says, your prayers are not answered for certain reasons. Because husbands are not submitting to wives, and wives are not submitting to husbands. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? Okay, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3. I know we're not married to each other, but the point is, this speaks of relationship. Marriage is God. Friendships are God-given. Shepherds are appointed by God. The people that are around me are God-appointed. Okay? And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 3. He says in verse 7, "Husband likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together to the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." You see, when even within a marriage relationship, because marriage relationship is a covenant, and we are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we walk in covenant with each other because of the covenant that Jesus makes with us. This covenant is this relationship that I'm talking about. So when we cross the boundaries of certain relationships and we dishonor that, or we don't we undo those kinds of things, we break something in the spirit and we break the relationship, you see why prayers are not answered. So number two, we must treasure these relationships. First, they are given to me by God. I got to recognize that they're given to me by God, and I must treasure those relationships that I know are God given. Number three, in those relationships that God gives us, we are to encourage each other with the word. Okay? When you look at John 17, you say, Jesus said, "I have given them your word. You gave them to me, I gave them your words." Everybody say, "You gave them to me, and I gave them your word." Can you see how Jesus relates to them? He says, "You've given them to me, I've given them your word." And you can see the care of Jesus in there. He says, "I'm praying for them. I pray that you keep them. I pray that they sanctify. I pray that they be kept from the evil one," and all those things. And so, and say, "Lord, I pray that they would be one just as we are one." And so he has real care. He has such relationship. He values that relationships and he cares for them. It'd be pretty sad if Jesus didn't care, right? But he does. So we are to encourage each other with the word of truth. Why the word? The word is truth, and the word sets us free, and the word sanctifies us. You know, it's very easy in life to meet up with friends and people that are close to you and talk about everything else except the Lord. Everything else except the scriptures. Everything else except edifying and fellowshipping and really edifying one another. But it's the word of God that will keep us. I want to turn to 2 Peter here. 2 Peter, it's not on there, just if you've got a Bible, turn to 2 Peter and verse 12. And this is what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Everybody say present truth. Present truth. I need to constantly be in the present truth. Okay? Because they have been so used to, you know, they know the law, the Old Testament, those people, they know that stuff. But he says, "Hey, do you not know that all of the Old Testament speaks of Jesus? You got to update yourself with this truth. This is the truth. The Messiah, he is the Messiah." So there was an updated truth that the people had to come to. Even though they knew about the tabernacle of Moses, they knew the Psalms, they knew the law, the Torah, whatever you want to call it, they knew that. But it says, hey, the updated truth, the present truth is that the Messiah, the sacrifice, and all those things, the laws, the writing, the prophets that they spoke about is Jesus. So we got to update ourselves. When Jesus keeps revealing himself, we got to keep updating ourselves with what God is doing and what God is saying. But you find this, sometimes certain relationships don't go further. And do you know why? Because we are not on the same page when it comes to the Word of God. Some are a bit more excited for God. Some say it's not important to do this. Some say, oh, it's okay. Some will say it's up to you. So we have all of our different differences and different views. And so the Word of God is not the very thing that binds us strong together. And that's the reason why, you know, in when we think about keeping relationship well, we ought to think about the Word of God. And I'm not just saying, you know, read the Bible and, you know, and just because I believe in one way or another, you do read your Bible. I'm not even saying, you know, have Bible words in our mouth every time we talk. It's not even that. But I would encourage, you know, for every single believer to seek, to desire to know more of the truth. Desire to grow in the truth. Because when desire to grow in truth, you know, and sometimes because we don't understand what God says in His Word, we get offended. And so we don't see the way others may be seeing. And that could be exactly what God is saying. And so because of that, we're not on the same page and we feel offended. We feel like we've been, you know, we've been stripped off from our rights and things like that. But as we engage with the Word of God and we say, Lord, I want to know your truth. I just don't want to be a Bible reader. I just don't want to be someone who knows Bible and just know Bible doctrine. But I want to be updated with updated truth, which means I want to continuously grow in dynamic relationship. And His Word is going to open up more and more, more and more, and more and more, so that all of us will come to the same knowledge of Jesus Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Fellowship. Can you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? In verse 12. Let's read it. It's a very common passage, but I do believe there's something in there that we really need to see. In verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what's the purpose? So that we'll be equipped. Why? I'm saying we all must have a desire to be equipped. Why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So I need to come to the knowledge of the truth. That knowledge of the truth is the Word of God. I want to be equipped so we can all be on the same page. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 15, it says this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden his heart as in the rebellion. I'm saying today, when we hear the voice of God, do we harden our hearts or do we open ourselves? And it says, today, encourage one another. Hear my voice, obey, and do it. Do not harden your hearts. Encourage one another with those words, with what you hear. Otherwise, there'll be deceitfulness coming in. But he says, encourage, exhort one another, what it is called, today. Today when you hear his voice, today, encourage one another. Encourage one another with a word. But we must be people of the word. Is that true? I'm not talking about Bible knowledge here, please. Okay, I am not trying to talk about knowing Bible knowledge. I am talking about having the word of God in us, really. I mean, we need Bible knowledge. I didn't mean to say that. But what I mean is it's more than Bible knowledge. We want the word of God, the living word of God. And when the word deals with us, we just got to let it deal with us. And I'm abiding in that word. If I don't, I'm rejecting. I am hardening my heart when I hear it today. That's why every time I must keep updating myself with truth. Not knowledge of truth, but truth that will set me free. Is that making sense, everybody? So I have a desire and a longing to update myself with truth. Then relationships will become powerful. Then relationships will have meaningful. Then we can encourage one another. Then the word of God will sanctify us and keep us and protect us from the evil one and protect us from the wiles and the attacks of the enemy that the enemy seeks to do always to break relationships. Do you think broken relationships is from God? I'll ask this again. Do you believe that broken relationships are from God? Do you think that when any sort of bitterness or unforgiveness, is that from God? No, it is never God's desire for us to be divided, but to be united. We cannot do that unless the same word abides in every each and every one of us. And I want to encourage everyone here. At whatever stage we're at, just have a hunger. Just say, Lord, renew my hunger for your word and to be walking in truth and walking in light. Another verse that I want to read, and then we're going to the last one here, is Ephesians chapter 4. Now let's read the last part here, verse 15 to 16. It says here, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow in all things in him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined, knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everyone say, speak the truth in love. Okay, and the word of God must be the truth of that of our conversations. I'm not saying or suggesting that you should go someone and purposely tell the truth to offend them in a way that is, not appropriate. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not saying because you may have the truth that it gives you the right to have a mocking spirit or to say it in a, put people down or to embarrass people in front of a multitude. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? But to be able to speak the word of God in truth when it needs to be spoken out. That means if it is what it is, it is what it is. But with a sincere heart, what is that for? So that we will grow. If relationships are to grow, we need to be very honest, not blunt. I mean, sometimes it can be very straight, like an arrow, because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm not talking about purposefully going to people's face and step on their toe and tell them truth and try to make. I'm not talking about that, right? Just don't get me wrong. But to speak it as it is, let's be true in love. Sincere. There will be growth in the body. There will be growth in our relationships. James chapter 5 verse 20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. What is that love? To turn a sinner from his error. Love covers a multitude of sin. It says here, let him who know that he who has turned a sinner from his error or his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. So in our relationships, there must be truth. There must be the word of God. The last one here is God gives us relationships so that we might be one in love. This is our strength. The desire of Jesus in John 17, it says in chapter 17, verse 11, it says, this is my desire. This is my desire. This is his prayer. And this is what he says in verse 11. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. I believe that the Word of God says it very plainly here. It's not me trying to make a message out of this, but it's very plain that he says he wants us, the man that are given to Jesus. Do you believe? Okay, are you added to the Lord? Have you been added to the church? All right, so is it the Lord that adds to the church? So God gives us this relationship. God adds us. And he says, I want them to be one just as we are one. I want to challenge you this morning because, you know, the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for is a church that's united. And nothing is going to unite us unless it's the word of truth that brings us together. The pure milk of the word of God. Pure relationships that are given to us by God to strengthen us, that we will be in one, in love, so that the world will know. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. This is my concluding verse. Though one may be empowered by another, two cannot withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There is strength in relationships. You know, I thank God. I really thank God. I thank God for my pastors. I thank God for the people who I work closely with in this church. I thank God for the children that God has placed in my life. Even at this time, as I spend more and more time with them, I thank God for them because I recognize that they're given by God. These relationships are given by God, and so we treasure them. So let me just quickly rehearse this. The first one is God gives us people. He surrounds us with people. It is God-given. It is from above. We're added to the Lord, added to the church. Number two, we must treasure those relationships. God gives them to us. Recognize where they're coming from. Recognize the value in relationships. I think I said this last week. I'm not sure if I think I did. But I said this. If we cut ourselves off from relationships, we cut ourselves off from receiving from that person. Do you think so? Look at it from a natural perspective. Not even trying to be spiritual or anything. Not even like spiritual gifts and spiritual. I'm just talking even in the natural. When we cut ourselves from relationships, we cut ourselves from receiving from that person. I know that for myself. When I don't particularly have a liking for a style of a particular preacher, whatever he says, I don't really feel like taking in what he's saying. I'd rather hear someone that I enjoy listening to. His doctrine seems to agree more with what I think. You know, something like that. You know, something silly like that. You know, so I cut myself off from really receiving from the other person. So how many of you know that we can do that in everything else? Whether it's our teacher, whether it's our boss, whether it's our pastor, whether it's our parents. When we cut off that relationship, we cut ourselves off. We cut ourselves off from receiving. So treasure those relationships. Encourage each other with a word. May each one of us have a hunger and thirst to say, I want to get the updated truth. I want to be in line. There's no way the church is going to be united until we come together in the word of truth that sanctifies, that sets me free. Now, if the word of God is not hurting us at all right, something might be a little bit wrong here, okay? The word of God, every time it will come, it will kind of make you feel, oh, hang on, I've not done this right. Or hang on, I got to change that. Or hang on, that attitude was not right. The word must do that. If it's not doing that, we're living maybe deception. There's another word. We're living in a bubble that's not real. It's not reality. We make it like we're such a great Christian living in paradise. Like, I mean, well, you ought to live in paradise, but you know what I'm saying? It's a self-made world that everything is okay. Everything is not okay until the Word of God comes and challenges us. If the Word of God is not challenging us, we really have to question. If we think that everything we're doing is always right, always good, we got to really think, is the Word the two-edged sword that is going to look at the intent? Now, you see, the thing is not just, I hear the Word, it will test the intents of the heart. That's what it does. If it's not, sometimes we may say, well, but I didn't say it, I didn't do it, but it's the intent that's there. Once the intent is already wrong, that's already wrong. So sometimes you say, well, I didn't say the wrong thing, I didn't do the wrong thing, I still kept, you know, I'm still normal, yeah. But it's how it is inside, not just externally. And I believe God gives us powerful relationships. I want to pray this morning and conclude in that manner. I want you to examine the relationships that God has placed all around us. And I believe that Evangel is not just a church for membership, but is a church that has membership that recognizes that this is a family in Christ. So as we examine right now in this moment and say, okay, Lord, who are the people who you've sent around me, you've put around me? Do I recognize that they are given to me by you? Do I treasure them? Are they meaningful to me? Do I truly fellowship? Am I seeking to be updated with every truth of the Word of God constantly? And are we living in unity or a sense or a form of unity? And I believe that God is moving by His Holy Spirit. He is turning our hearts so that we will turn our hearts to each other. So that His church will be strong and established, perfect, lacking nothing, to be grounded and rooted in His love, walking in truth, in righteousness. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I come before you and I thank you that you have ordained relationships around our lives. And we want to recognize this morning. And if we have not, Lord, we repent. We turn. We ask for your forgiveness if we have not. Lord, I pray that your prayer that you made, that you said, Lord, that your people would be one as you are one. I pray for the unity that comes from heaven to unite us all here in this church to the glory and the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, to Him who sits on the throne, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Son of the living God, Jesus, the Savior of all. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Can I just have the musicians and we'll just conclude in a song? God is giving us strong relationships. Amen. God is going to cause us to grow from level to level. Because we want sometimes church to be effective, but church is not effective because if we're divided, how can we stand? But the Bible says, when you are united, when you are one, then the world will know that you sent me. Then the world will know. Only then the world will know. So I believe that, you know, we want to do great things. I want to see the church. We're living in a time where the church is going to be so active and so at the forefront of everything that's happening. But the first thing that we must come back is a love for this first love, which we heard a couple of weeks ago, and the love inside the church that will reflect out in the world that is so needed right now. Shall we rise our feet this morning?